Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
The domestic violence numbers in Illinois are moving in the wrong direction. Between 2023 and 2024, the number of domestic violence homicides increased by 14%, and the number of calls to the state's domestic violence hotline jumped by 23%. There is a robust network of agencies and nonprofits devoted to helping victims of domestic violence find safety and a new life, but their resources are stretched thin. I'm Rob Hart, and this week we talked to two people on the front lines of the struggle to help victims of domestic violence on At Issue.
LaTanya Walker, Chief Program Officer at WINGS Program, and Hillary Dewin, Executive Director of Connections for Abused Women and Their Children in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on At Issue. And before we continue, a little bit of a content warning. This conversation can be troubling for some listeners, so feel free to skip this one if you want. Let's begin with some sobering statistics. 2024 saw a 14% increase in domestic violence deaths in Illinois compared to the year before. 120 lives lost to domestic violence in 2024. The numbers appear to be moving in the wrong direction, LaTanya and Hillary. Why is that the case?
I think that there's a lot more education around domestic violence, and the more that we are educating, the more we hear. So whenever we go out and do a speaking presentation, we tend to see an uptick in the calls to our hotlines, for our shelters. I think the other thing is that COVID really brought out a lot, and we really started to see a rise there. And I wonder if that knowledge and that visibility also brought about an increase where people are just talking about it more.
Well, I definitely think you're right about reporting, right? Domestic violence is something that the numbers have never been accurate. We know that however many people we serve, there's probably triple that number who are actually experiencing domestic violence. So definitely to your point, you know, the more people are educated and naming what they're seeing, maybe it's getting categorized, maybe it's getting tracked better. But I also think that the stresses of the pandemic definitely fueled a huge increase in domestic violence incidents. A lot of the factors that can contribute to violence escalating were present. People stuck at home,
absolutely,
right? Less resources and support, people losing their jobs. We know that when folks don't have a lot of choices or options in their life, that often that can be a pressure cooker for increased violence.
The Illinois Domestic Violence Hotline averages more than 160 calls per day. And once again, the calls to that hotline jumped 23% in 2024 compared to 2023. In your experience, what does it take for a person to finally make that phone call? How many months or years of steeling oneself does it take to actually reach out for help?
It's funny, we were talking about this earlier about some of the key statistics around domestic violence. And, you know, it takes an average of 7 times before a survivor leaves an abusive partner for good. 7 times. So when you think about how many times they would have to reach out for help, that the resources would have to be there and receptive. So, I mean, we both have been in the field for many, many years, and we often see survivors in and out of our services for a decade, and for various reasons, because it takes a perfect storm of internal resilience and resources and the right things externally, particularly economic resources, right, for them to be able to actually leave and stay gone.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of people when they are ready to leave and maybe the resources that they're looking for aren't available. And so they might decide this is not the right time because I don't have the external resources that I need in order to survive and to, you know, stay out of the relationship.
It's really sad, actually. You know, so there's so few shelter beds in Chicago and in Illinois. There's imminent cuts to programming that would mean that when people reach out for those resources, they wouldn't be there. So then they have no other choice but to remain in that relationship.
It's very interesting and bring that up. If somebody wants to leave an abusive relationship, do they feel, is it largely a case in which the victim feels economically trapped, like they literally do have nowhere else to go?
I think it's a combination of things. I mean, there's definitely the economic factor. There are also barriers around the stigma of domestic violence, what that means, what we will look like as a family or a couple in our, you know, community, what that might do to our children, how I might be removing them from the only home they know, their school, their friends. You know, sometimes there are religious reasons. And at the same time, we also have to recognize that a lot of survivors still love the person that they're in the relationship with. And so you're really conflicted about leaving or not leaving.
Yeah, there's some really unfortunate dynamics that are a standard part of domestic violence relationships. I mean, the survivor most likely believes that what's happening is their fault, that they need to fix it. Their self-esteem and internal sense of independence and control, whether they're good enough, has been eroded to a point where they feel, you know, they deserve what's happening. They can't get along on their own. And, you know, they're too debilitated, by exhausted, in pain emotionally and physically to plan to leave.
Well, Hillary, I want to ask you then about Connections for Abused Women and Their Children, because the mission statement is to help the victims of domestic violence and their kids rebuild their lives. And as you just pointed out, it's easier said than done. You have to unravel so many emotional layers that are surrounding this person you're trying to ferry off to a safe space. So where do you begin? How can you fight some of these feelings or get someone to discard them, even if they've carried those feelings with them for years?
That's a great question. It takes a long time and a lot of patient, consistent effort. But some of the first things that we always tell survivors is you are not alone and this is not your fault. There's many people who've experienced this and come out the other side, and we're here to partner with you, to walk alongside you. They're coming from a place where they've had most of their choices and freedoms restricted probably for a long period of time. So we're helping them look through their options, and they make the choice that works best for them. We're trusting them as experts in their own lives and slowly helping them rebuild this sense of self-determination, while providing, of course, practical supports as well. But it's that really, that's emotional piece where we're walking sort of alongside them for some time as they regain that sense of self-esteem and ability to, you know, make choices for themselves.
Do you feel like your programming is a form of triage for someone where you have to really, what is the most important thing that your program can do when someone comes in and they need help? Is it unraveling that emotional cocoon that we were talking about? Or is it addressing that sense of economic hopelessness and helplessness?
You know, you can't separate the two, really. Yeah, it's both, because oftentimes folks don't even want to talk about their feelings if they don't have a secure roof over their head or a way they're going to feed their children. So oftentimes, you know, we are triaging in the sense that if we get them into our shelter and they have a safe place and, you know, we start to help them build resources, then they feel safe enough. They've built enough trust with us. They have enough security to start talking about some of the horrific things that they've been through. And through that whole process, though, we are giving them choices. We're helping them feel supported. And we're getting them really to a place emotionally where they can share and begin to process and move past what's happened. And those two things can't really be separated.
Wings is a literal safe space. And it's a haven for people who are in need of one. And what kind of safe space does Wings provide to someone who needs your help?
Well, it's interesting because we actually don't refer to our shelter as a shelter. We refer to it as a safe house. We're very intentional, you know, with our wording and the messaging that we want to put out. And in that, we are able, just like CAWC, able to provide short-term emergency safe housing. We also, I think one of the things that I think is really key is long-term. How can someone move forward long-term? And we all know that a shelter is not a long enough stay. And so we at Wings have a transitional housing program, a permanent supportive housing program, rapid rehousing, and people can stay up to 2 years. And so when you've done some of that triage work in the shelter and you're able to open up a little bit, you're able to move to sort of those next steps, and then you can take those 2 years and use that to truly rebuild so that when you're finished with that 2 years, you're able to take that next leg of the journey.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart, and I'm joined this week by LaTanya Walker, Chief Program Officer at Wings in Chicago, and Hillary Dewin, Executive Director of Connections for Abused Women and Their Children in Chicago, as we talk about domestic violence in Chicago and Illinois and resources for victims. And when people come to Wings, when people make that phone call, how much of that is someone finding the courage within themselves after maybe years of abuse to actually reach out? And how much of this is mandated by the courts or mandated by police?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'd say the majority are people who are at their breaking point and they're ready to leave. You know, we, of course, internally don't have any mandates. We actually, I think, as a domestic violence community, really advocate against that. So if we have someone who comes into shelter, we really use that as an opportunity to educate that, you know, we don't have to mandate someone to come to a shelter in order to not lose their children. Right?
It really replicates that power control dynamic to mandate a survivor to take specific services.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'd say that the majority of the clients that we see truly are at the point where they really are needing something. We see a lot of this happening when children are involved. A lot of survivors have said, you know, my children, I wanted to make sure they were safe. And that was the breaking point for me. And that's why I ended up leaving. But like Hillary said, it really does take approximately on average 7 times. And so if there is a survivor and they're a little frustrated, or if I have a staff who's frustrated, I'm always like, how many times has this person left? Right. And if the answer is 2 or 3, okay, they're still learning. They're still gathering information while they're here. So this time might not be the time, but we know that when that person leaves, that person has left with a safety plan. And if they need us, they know that they can come back. And I think that's what's really key. When we're working with survivors in isolation, we find that a lot of family members and friends are not available to them anymore. And, you know, Wings and CAWC, our doors are open. And so there's no shame in having to come back. And I think that is those stepping stones to building the trust.
Planting those seeds so that when they need help in their darkest moment, they know they can come back.
Absolutely. Yes.
I want to ask you about the effect of advocacy on your own mental health. I mean, I think you get to see, unfortunately, and experience some of the worst of human behavior. And what kind of a toll does it take on you?
I mean, that's a great question. I think it does take a big toll on folks that are working on those front lines with survivors every day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I see it a lot too when we're training young people, interns, new counselors and staff who have just started. You see the sort of realization that maybe the world isn't as safe as mm-hmm. they thought it was, that maybe people aren't as good as they may have thought. And there's many folks, depending on where they're from, who grow up knowing that, and some folks who don't realize it until they encounter it as an adult or as a service provider. But we always put a big emphasis to folks, you know, we know it's not a matter of, you know, if it affects you, it's how. And so a big part of doing this work is doing it in community and doing it knowing that you are going to need support and you're going to give support and that you have to prioritize caring for yourself so that you can stay in this fight. Because this is a marathon, not a sprint, this work. And in order to do it long term, you do have to take care of yourself.
I agree. I think that with a lot of newer staff or interns, we're always sort of doing a check-in. You know, how are you doing? What do you need? Is there anything that I can do to support you? I think that all of us also use our team meetings as opportunities to do a lot of check-ins mm-hmm. with staff, and then bringing in different activities, lots of education. I like the way you mentioned, like, those rose-colored glasses, mm-hmm. because I think sometimes when that hits, that's the hardest for staff, when they realize, oh, this, you know, I thought I was coming in to help and it was going to be, you know, a quick fix, and it's really not a quick fix. And I think the support that you receive as a staff member from your organization, from your peers, I think those are the things that help you stick to it for the long run. You know,
yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
15 years.
Yeah.
And you're double that. Yeah, you're
I'm
double that.
I'm at 29.
That.
So.
And truly, I mean, LaTanya, we're a perfect example of that. You have to do this work in community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there'll be days where LaTanya calls me and is like, listen to what's going on. And or I'll be like, I need help with this. And there's a really great community of Chicago and surrounding suburbs, agencies and advocates that really, because this work has to be done in community.
Mm-hmm. How is the conversation around domestic violence, both from an advocacy standpoint, but also from a legal standpoint, how has that changed over time? Because if you talk about or read stories about the legal protections that women had in relationships not very long ago, and you're almost on the floor just at how few of them actually existed. And if there was some type of strife in a relationship that would now be considered domestic violence. Almost the official stance was, well, what did you do to deserve this?
Mm-hmm. I think we've come a long way. The great thing I will say about the state of Illinois is that we have laws on the books. I've been to other states where they don't have any of the laws. One place that we can grow is how we implement those laws and how we uphold those laws. And I think that's a really huge opportunity for us in Illinois.
Yeah, the Illinois Domestic Violence Act is actually pretty robust, and it was originally passed in 1982. So that's pretty groundbreaking when you can, because you're absolutely right. You know, the law really has lagged behind. But the problem is Latonya said, is it actually needs to be enforced. That's why I think a lot of our training and prevention work is with other agencies, first responders, with criminal justice. We partner pretty closely with law enforcement because they're impacted hugely mm-hmm. by domestic violence as well, in terms of having to go out to calls all the time and risk themselves. And so, you know, if we're not there to partner with those folks and help them learn and understand domestic violence, then survivors often, you know, don't get the level of care that they need when they have an entry point that's other than us, right? If their first place that they go isn't someone who understands domestic violence.
Well, you mentioned earlier in the program, there is so much about domestic violence that we just simply don't know about. All what we know is comes from people who call and reach out and ask for help. And even in that situation, for every one person who calls, there may be multiple people who don't. And a couple of years ago in Illinois, lawmakers passed legislation that would set up panels to investigate domestic violence deaths and identify how they could have been prevented. Since then, 7 of the state's 102 counties have established review teams. And that also includes Cook County, which is still trying to get its review team off the ground. So you do have laws on the books, but you also need resources and money and people to meet the letter of the law, if not the spirit of the law.
Absolutely. The DV, fatality review was fantastic legislation. And since we've tracked homicides, you talked about this in the beginning, but if you look just from like 2022 to 2024, there was 140% increase in deaths in Illinois related to domestic violence. That's in Illinois, but that's a huge jump, right? And some of it, again, is because we're finally tracking it. But when you think about how lethal domestic violence is, and, it's not just the law that needs to keep up, right? It's the funding for the resources that we provide, because truly, as domestic violence homicides are on the rise, a lot of our funding is in jeopardy. And the unfortunate thing is, when our doors are closed, people die.
And where does that funding come from mostly? Does it come from municipalities? Does it come from the state? Or is it one of the many things in limbo because of chaos in Washington?
That's a great question. It's definitely in chaos, because in federal chaos, as usual. And I know Latonya can speak to that too, but also the city of Chicago is proposing 43% cut for gender-based violence services, which would be hugely impactful for both myself and for Wings. So really, public funding is at risk in a huge way this year, at a time when, as I said, homicides are increasing immensely.
Well, and things aren't just touching the government. If you think about our private and individual donors, they're affected as well, and they also have to take care of themselves and their families. And so if you see a decrease with, federal funding or things that are affecting everyone in the world, there's going to also be then a decrease in the people who can attend our galas and, our private donors who historically have, really, really been crucial to the work that we do.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart, joined this week by Latonya Walker, Chief Program Officer at Wings Program, and Hillary Dewin, Executive Director of Connections for Abused Women and Their Children in Chicago. And we are talking about domestic violence, legal efforts to stop it, and resources for victims of it, and what advocacy organizations in the Chicago area are doing to provide people with a safe space. And once again, I have to provide the content warning. This may be a discussion that just could be simply too intense for you, and you can skip this one and come back next week. And we talk about the efforts to help victims of domestic violence, adult parents. That is merely the tip of the iceberg, because you have people who come to you with children. And how can you help kids who may have a little bit of an understanding, but not much of what's going on in their lives?
Well, at Wings, we always say we've noticed that we probably serve about three times as many children as we do adults. Hillary mentioned earlier our prevention work, and I think that is what's really important. If we make sure that we are getting our kids while they're early and providing education and red flags and coping skills, then those are the things that are going to help decrease that number of abuse in the future.
Prevention is huge in ending domestic violence. Absolutely. We serve children, providing, you know, that counseling support that they need, because they come to us and they're scared. You know, when something is happening with the people who are supposed to provide that stable home and who they're looking to for comfort, who they depend on for survival, that's a really scary place to be in when they come to us. And so we really have to help them understand that, just like, you know, the person who's been abused, the parent who's been abused, the children need to know that it's not their fault, that they don't deserve it, that, you know, they're not alone, and learn different ways to build up their self-esteem and cope with what's happened to them.
I don't know if you notice, I do notice in the shelter setting that sometimes we'll have children who will come in and they might be aggressive, they might be withdrawn, and within 2 to 3 weeks of having that counseling and attending groups, you start to see children really flourish. I don't see kids hitting as much or cursing and really able to use their feeling words.
Right.
So that's awesome.
And then in terms of finding those resources, we went in depth on the mental health component, which was allowing someone to maybe give themselves grace when they just didn't do that for many, many years. But then there's the economic side, where you have to move on with your life without this other person, hopefully. And how do you help accomplish that goal?
You know, a lot of it, as Hillary said, really depends on the funding, right? Is there the funding available if someone wanted to go to a different state? We do a lot of advocacy. Sometimes we reach out to other states to find out if they have the funding to bring someone to another state. But I think it truly boils down to what financial means we have as organizations and what we can provide. Internally, I think we do a lot around employment, resume writing, mock interviews, you know, through our volunteers. Our case managers help apply for jobs or any, you know, benefits that someone might qualify for. And those are the things that really get someone started. You know, the other thing that I'm thinking about is that's a little challenging is when we have someone, we've gotten them started, and then maybe their time is up. And so they're like, wait, I just like planted roots here. And so I don't want to have to go to another place because, you know, maybe I just got a job in this neighborhood and it's going to be too much of a hike. And so, you know, really trying to work with people on the front end around this is a temporary stay. And so then how do we ensure that you're going to be able to maintain what this is when you leave here?
Yeah, it really is dependent on our financial resources. You know, if we have a grant that provides the ability to relocate somebody to another state, to help a case manager to help them find a housing program that works for them, connecting them with workforce development resources, you have to have a huge network of partnerships with other types of resources for survivors to connect them to the things that they'll need, and really hope that you have the client financial assistance dollars available for that emergency food, for the clothing, for the household items if they do happen to move into their own apartment. So that's why the funding is so important.
The housing, I don't want our listeners to miss. The housing is a huge component. Housing in Chicago has really changed. You know, you could go get a 1-2 bedroom. You could pay $800-900. And now I'm seeing in neighborhoods that traditionally you wouldn't have seen, you know, a 2-bedroom costs $2,400. And so, you know, I think that's another consideration in terms of how people can move forward.
Affordable housing is the number one thing that survivors are looking for generally when they call for support. And it's the thing we have the least of.
And then lastly, just to give you the last word, where are we as far as efforts to educate about domestic violence and also help people heal from domestic violence? You know, as two people who are on the front lines, where have we been? Where are we now? And where are we going?
Where have we been? You know, we've been in homes, right? When we talk about safe homes, used to be your neighbors who would take you in, sort of these private places that
grassroots.
People didn't know about. I think, you know, where we are now really is pivotal in where we go for the next steps. You know, we provide a lot more services than we had 20, 30 years ago, where there is housing, there is legal advocacy, the children's programming, the counseling. It's not just a shelter bed and food.
It's interesting because this really started as a grassroots movement with neighbors helping neighbors, and it grew into like a more professional field with a lot of different types of support available through, you know, nonprofits or government services. And we're seeing, because of the gaps in funding, you know, a return to folks using, you know, mutual aid networks and more grassroots support. And what I'm hoping is that it'll become a collaboration between those two types of support so that nobody gets left behind.
LaTanya Walker, Chief Program Officer at Wings, and Hillary Dewin, Executive Director of Connections for Abused Women and Their Children in Chicago. Thank you for joining us on At Issue. You can reach the Wings 24-hour hotline at 847-221-5680. That's 847-221-5680. You can reach CAWC's hotline at 773-278-4566. That's 773-278-4566. If you want to hear this program again, you can do so at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.